Today, as we announced last Sunday, is our kind of our food pantry Sunday. Some of you have brought food. Thank you so much. There's also that can that you can make donations in. Carrie did some quick estimating for me that there were 70-some families that came in July. That's a lot of families. And then many of those families, you know, we give for one time, I think it's just one time a month, that we give those little vouchers out that help people get milk, beef, eggs, and bread at County Market. That was a $300 some expense for this month, you know, just one month for those folks. And so we want to keep on doing that. And so please, if you are so led to participate in this ministry of mercy in the name of Jesus to others, please bring food, make monetary donations. You can do that at any time, of course, but to make it convenient for you and also memorable, first Sunday of the month, kind of. But we had families bring food midweek this week, which was great. And so don't be bashful to do that. You can just drop it right on into the food pantry there. Second thing is, yes, as Tim announced with the park service coming up, I also want to ask you to think about maybe who you might want to invite too. You know, who might be a person in your life that you know would be blessed to be participating in a body of Jesus, you know, in the church. And you're also thinking, they would never don the doors of this building, maybe. I know that some of you, your first Sunday was at the park. You know, it was a safer place for you. And God worked through that. And so would you be mindful and prayerful about who you might invite to that park service so that they might hear the good news of Jesus? You know, take that step of faith. Be prayerful. Ask God, who might that be? And then God, give me the strength, the boldness to make the invite. And so that's in a couple weeks, wanted to do that. Last announcement. It was 2009, right? August 1, 4 years ago, Pastor Tim and Renee moved to Medford. So will you guys please come up here? Tim and Renee, come please. I don't have anything like to give you like we gave Kevin and Amber last week. You know, no envelope, a vacation. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, how big? Well, I want to say thank you after 4 years of you two being a personal blessing to me. And I know you've been a blessing to many here in FBC. And so just say thank you. Thank you, God, and thank you, Beckers. Thank you, girls, you know, for all you do as well and participating here. We're glad that you're a part of our church. And so I know many of you have been blessed by Pastor Tim and Renee, and so could you just give a hand clap to them and thank God for them? So, you bet, buddy. You're welcome. I didn't tell Tim I was going to do that. He was surprised. Well, let's pray, ask God's help to be in his word today. Father, we believe you have good things for us in your word now. And God, I know those good things are needed for us to remain faithful to you. God, we're so tempted to be faithless. And so, Lord, please preserve your people. And we know your spirit will move with power upon the proclamation of your word. And so, God, come and do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Corby and I, like many of you parents and grandparents out there, are trying to teach our kids to be thankful. Jude and I will go to the grocery store, and he will make a beeline to the bakery because he knows he can get a free cookie. And I often will say, well, say thank you. Judah, say thank you. Say please, say thank you. Of course, I don't just want the words thank you to come out of his mouth, right? I want him to be thankful on the inside. Like I want him to be thankful, and because he's thankful, say thank you, not just be polite. Every Christmas, my mother gets everyone socks. Usually just plain white socks. That's not the most exciting part of Christmas. It's quite predictable. She doesn't wrap them anymore. Just here are your socks, you know. I don't know if she thinks it's her duty. And most of the time, the grandkids aren't brimming with gratitude when they get their socks. But they still say, or we make them say, thank you, Grandma, for the socks. You know, like, woo, this is great. If you want your kids or grandkids to say thank you just because it's polite, you're aiming low. Okay? You're aiming low. But that's often how gratitude is thought of, right? We're embarrassed that our children might forget to say thank you and give the impression that we're raising these spoiled, entitled children. Or maybe we forget to say thank you and we feel embarrassed because we failed some societal norm that we're supposed to live up to. But merely saying thank you means nothing. Real gratitude, being truly thankful, comes from the inside. It's a work of God in us, and then get this, it changes the way we live our life. I'm wondering if you would dare to believe this morning that gratitude will change the way you live your life. See, that's the reason why I want Judah to say thank you, not just because it's polite or because it's good manners, but when he learns that all of life is a gift from his heavenly Father in love, that he would then be brimming with joy and appreciation and can't help but say, thank you, God, for all that you have given. And then that changes the way he interacts with God. It changes the way he interacts with other people. It changes the way he approaches good times. And it changes the way he approaches the hard times. So if you're interested in maybe considering hearing how gratitude might change your life, grab your Bibles. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the pews in front of you. Colossians 3, we've been in this passage for a while, but it's brimming with wonderful information. Let's do this. We're going to read 12 through 15, Colossians 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So after this laundry list of commands from the Apostle Paul on living and loving harmony with one another in the body of Christ, as you saw at the very end of that verse 15, he tacks on this, and be thankful. Very quick, almost terse, but don't let that fool you. Just because he gives this short, quick, and be thankful, don't misunderstand that as gratitude being insignificant in light of everything else he said. In fact, I want to show you how he actually is highlighting gratitude in the book of Colossians. So jump back to chapter 1. Jump back to chapter 1. This is going to go back in our memory banks a little bit as we've studied this whole book up into this point so far. But in starting in verse 10, he lists four things that happen to us when God's good work is taking place in our lives. And he says this in verses 11 and 12. Look at chapter 1, 11 and 12. Here are two more, the last two things. May you be strengthened. So we're strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. That's one thing that happens. And then verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And so one of the four things that happen to us, Paul says, is when God does his saving work in us, is he produces in us a gratitude of heart. Go to chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. These two verses, I would probably say, are the two most important verses in understanding the book of Colossians and what Paul is trying to teach. This is the big idea. This is the whole point of the book. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so he's giving this one overarching command that he wants the Colossian church to do. And when you do that, when you walk by grace through faith, you will abound in thanksgiving. Look at chapter 3, our passage. Not only does he say be thankful in verse 15, but then look what he says in verses 16 and 17. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So that's how you sing. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One more, chapter 4, verse 2. So not only are we supposed to be grateful when we sing and all that we do, chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So as you pray, pray being thankful. And so you can see all these references of gratitude are meant to help us see that this isn't just a kind of a passing thought of Paul. He wants gratitude and thankfulness to be embedded into our very lives, and they will when the work of God is taking place by the Spirit. So let's examine verse 15. As you might notice, there's not a lot there, right? Three words, and be thankful. That's it. The word thankful is the Greek word eucharistos. Some of you ladies who studied the 1,000 Gifts class by Ann Voskamp, that might sound familiar. Ann Voskamp has made the Greek word eucharisteo a household word for Christian moms and women. Eucharistos is the noun, thanks, and eucharisteo is the verb, to be thankful. And what was Voskamp's, one of her main points? Learn to live lives of gratitude to God in all things, because it changes the way you live your life. She just didn't decide to make that up. She found that in the Bible. Now I want to focus on two questions this morning. What does it mean to be thankful? And why is Paul telling the church to be thankful now in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15? Why is he saying it now? So what's the first question? What does it mean to be thankful? We've hinted at it already. But gratitude is the natural response when you recognize you've been given a gift. It's what you do when you see that what you have has been given to you as a gift. There are two ways to approach the world, friends. Being thankful because you're receiving gifts, or being disappointed because you don't think you've been given what you deserve. Two kinds of people who see life as a gift and others who see life as their due or as payment to them. And so those kinds of people look at their jobs and they look at their houses and their skills and their toys and their relationships and their experiences and you name it, and they say, so, what's the big deal? My job stinks. My car is old. My husband never does what I tell him to do. My wife always nags me. My kids don't listen. You know, how come I don't get more thanks for the things that I do? Some people actually live their life expecting people to thank them. And so they live demanding, impatient, entitled, complaining lives. This person does not see all that they have as a gift from God. Instead, they see it as something they deserve. In fact, they deserve better. And so they're disappointed. Others, though, rightly see that all of life is a gift. And so they look at their jobs and their spouses and their cars, they're rusty, and the vacation time, even though they'd love to have more, and they recognize that all of that is a gift from God that they don't deserve. And so they say, thank you, God. You've given me more than I deserve. You've given me more than I could expect. So thank you, God, for the church family you give me. Thank you, God, for the word you've given me. Thank you, God, for all these things that you've given me, because it's better than I deserve. Gratitude is a response when we recognize that life is a gift from God. And I guess I want to maybe not presume that. Is life a gift from God? Is life really a gift? There's several passages I could take you to highlight this, but I want to take you to 1 Timothy 4. So flip back towards more back towards your Bible. Those of you who are learning your books of the Bible, trying to get better at that so you can find passages more easily. There are five T's in the New Testament, kind of right in the middle there. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. Those five together, think of that. And those come after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, General Electric Power Company. That's how I remembered that as a boy. So after General Electric Power Company, you got the five T's. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 1 Timothy, I should turn there too. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Now, I can't teach this passage exhaustively this morning, but I just want to highlight the key portion to illustrate how life is a gift. So in verse 3, Paul is telling Timothy that these false teaching liars are forbidding marriage. They're forbidding certain foods and drinks when he says God created them to be enjoyed as you receive them with thanksgiving. Now, what do you receive and give thanks for? Well, you give thanks for the things that you receive, which are gifts. And then he broadens it in verse 4. Look what he does in verse 4. He broadens it and says, for everything created by God is good. Created by God. So God is who made it, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. And so again, all of creation that God has made is good, but he gives it to us, which we are to receive with thanksgiving. I recognize clearly that life then, this creation that God has made, he's the one who made it. I did not. He's the one who gives it. I'm the one who receives it. And as I receive it with gratitude. So did you make this new day, First Baptist? Or were you given this new day? Did you create your ability to count or to manage or to sculpt or to paint or construct all the things that you do at home and at work and at school? Or did God give them to you? Did you create the time to develop those skills? And did you create the energy it took to develop them and to learn? Or did God give that to you also? Did you somehow, by your own ingenuity, manufacture the first encounters with your spouse and with your closest lifelong friends? And did you create that chemistry that took place? Or did God do that? And most importantly, of course, did you, by your superior wisdom and knowledge, seek after God? Or did God, by his mercy, find you? I think we can see, can't we, that life is indeed a gift. And so because it's a gift, we should receive it with thankfulness. And so here's the deal, my friends. The remedy to not being thankful is not a more disciplined habit of saying thank you. It's not being more committed to teaching that to your children. In fact, if you're discouraged with maybe your children's thankfulness and they seem to think they always deserve better, the answer is helping them see the glories of God and how everything that he has done and has given has been a gift. The answer is helping them see how God is the one who has offered these things. And are you discouraged by your own complaining and grumbling? Are you discouraged how you always seem to compare yourself with others and then feel like you have the short end of the stick in life. Again, pray and say, God, help me see that if I got what I deserved, I would get the fires of hell. But instead, God, you give me better than I deserve. And because I've received better than I deserve, I count that all as a gift, and I will thank you and praise you for that which you have given to me. And so gratitude is that joy that we have when we see that all of life is a gift. And that's where it comes from the inside, by the grace of God helping us have eyes to see that mercy. So that answers our first question. That's gratitude and where it comes from. Here's the second question. Why is Paul bringing it up? Why is he talking about it now? I mean, I guess you could say that there's never a bad time to tell someone to be thankful, but it does seem that just a general admonition to be thankful seems a little out of place, and so I want you to consider this. Could it be that Paul's command to be grateful is meant for us to be understood in relational or communal ways? Think about what he's been doing, right? This whole section has been all about how we live together. How we live together. All the pronouns have been plural. Not you, sir, or madam, but you all as the church together do these things. And what are we to do? We are to bear with one another and forgive one another and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts together so we might be at peace, to be compassionate to one another. And I want to suggest that his command to be thankful is supposed to be understood in that light, that it's one of the things that we are supposed to be doing together. It's supposed to inform and shape our communal lives together. And so, yes, be thankful for the certain things in your particular life. Do that, of course. But I think this admonition now is meant for us to say, what are we to be thankful for together? And I just have two things that I want to highlight for you about the things we should be grateful to God about for us together as our community. The first one, of course, is God's saving work and his Son. That's what we should be thankful to God for, that together. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we together were still sinners, Christ died for us together. It's glorious. And one of the things that he did in that death was break down the dividing walls of hostility that separates people from one another. We're just that's what happens. We are divided until the work of Jesus comes and unites us. We're separated. Especially the world does this. We can see it in our world today by gender, by race, by socioeconomic class. But in the atoning death of Jesus and in his resurrection, God unites all of his people of different genders and different ethnicities and different social classes into one people, the family of God. He doesn't eliminate the differences. He unites us in our differences around the one mission that we have to proclaim the praises of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. And who did that? God did that. And so we give thanks to God. God, thank you for doing that in us, saving me, saving us, uniting us together. That's something that we are glad to do together. I love coming to FBC, being together with you, singing praises to God. Nothing encourages my heart more than when I see God's people praising him in their own way, right? Some of you are exuberant and expressive. Others of you aren't, but I can see in your face when you're worshiping. I know who you are. And nothing pleases me more, praising God together for his Son. Secondly, I think that we should also then be thanking God for one another. Thanking God for one another. And so consider this. If that's true, if we're going to thank God for one another, if I'm going to thank God for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and you for me, and us for one another, that means we see each other as gifts from God. Because we thank God for his gifts. And so his people then, my brothers and sisters, are gifts to me. Now, sometimes that's really easy. Some of you have been blessed in maybe the last year of receiving meals from our meals ministry. You've been sick and in the hospital, or maybe you've had a death in the family. Maybe a new baby's been born in your family, and you've received meals. Or some of you took your little ones up into the nursery, and their brothers and sisters were waiting with open arms, ready to receive your children so you could come and worship. That's a gift. It's easy to give thanks to God for one another in those situations. But what about other times? What about other times when we're frustrated with one another and we're hurt by one another? Or maybe our differences are being put on display. What about the brother who thinks we should be doing X, Y, and Z, and I think we should be doing A, B, and C? Or the sister who thinks we need new roasters in the kitchen, and you don't think we need new roasters in the kitchen. We got plenty of roasters, and they're just fine. Are we to be thankful for them too? Yeah. We're to be thankful for them too, because they are a gift in their differences. Over the years, I've grown in my ability to see how impoverished and limited our church community would be if everyone would be like me. There are so many things I don't see, so many perspectives I don't have, so many gifts and skills that I lack. And many of you make up for my weaknesses. They're your strengths. I'm thankful for that. And yet, even still, in those differences, there can be friction. There can be conflict. But let's remember, unity is not the absence of conflict. Unity is the ability and the desire to keep working towards our collective goal and still loving each other in the midst of our differences. That's what unity is. And so when you hear, you know, take last week. Last week we had our semi-annual meeting, and we had a good long discussion about what God might do with future buildings and things like that. It was wonderful. People with different ideas and different suggestions and different opinions, sharing them together, trying to find some common ground as we keep on moving forward. So what do we do when you have a brother talking about that process and thinking we should have done it yesterday, when you think we should be doing it years down the road? Be thankful for them too? Yeah, be thankful for them too. And ask yourself, okay, what does my brother see that I don't see? Help me, God. And then, yes, there are things that they see that you don't see. And then vice versa. How can you be thankful for your conservative brother or sister who thinks that the slow and steady pace is the right pace? Many things. Many things. They see things that you don't see. And see, when we are willing to humble ourselves and recognize that, you know what, we don't have all the answers. I don't have a corner on the truth. I don't have perfect vision about everything. Then we see, oh, we need each other. And I need the way that my brother and sister see things when I don't see them. And I can be humble to receive that. You know, that's a blessing, and we should be thankful for as a body in Christ. Now, I mentioned that embracing gratitude changes the way we live our lives. I'm hoping that you have been able to imagine how that's possible. Here's an example of how being grateful and living in a place of gratitude for one another changes the way we live our life. You know, if your brothers and sisters are gifts from God that are to be received with gratitude, that's going to make you much slower in cursing them and being impatient with them. See, we don't typically curse our gifts. We don't get angry about our gifts. My son's 3.5 years ago got a Wii for Christmas from some friends. It was a glorious gift. And you know what I didn't hear them cursing the Wii. Oh, blast you, Wii. Go back to China already, will you? You know, they didn't say those things. It was a gift. And so we don't look at each other and curse each other when we recognize that we're gifts from God to one another. It changes the way we interact with God. Changes the way we interact with one another. That's just one example. So what an excellent way, my brothers and sisters, to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, counting each other as gifts from God. And so I want to encourage you, spend some time meditating and thinking about ways your brother and sisters are gifts to you. In fact, in the little questions of the week that I have provided for you, give you some homework. I say, name 5 different FBCers. Name 5 brothers or sisters. Then give thanks to God for the 1 or 2 things that you see in them. even how they might be different from you, even how they might challenge you. And you know what? Even go a step further, maybe go to them and say, I'm thankful to God for you because. Would you do that? That's my encouragement, my homework for you this week. Well, let's close our time around the word in prayer. And as I close in prayer, would those preparing and serving communion please come forward at this time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the grace that you have given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I ask that you might now bless us with your presence as we gather around your table, remembering the saving work of Jesus. In your name I pray, amen.